We're venturing into a new pattern here around remote message broadcasting. And I'm Stephen Thomas, if anyone has forgotten. And I run the BizTalk community site, biztalkgurus.com. Actually, a quick show of hands, who's been to the website before? Oh, wow. That's almost 100%. That's pretty good. I used to ask that as an interview question when I would do a lot of interviews. And then, of course, I'd follow it up with, you know, oh, yeah, you know, what'd you think of the site? I quit doing that after somebody said he didn't like it. So, yeah. Here's our standard slide for people watching the recording. 23% off. This relates to Chapter 11 in the book related to remote message broadcasting. Let's just start off with something a little fun here. These are kind of some little-known facts, so you guys can get to know me a little bit better here. Before I actually started doing BizTalk, which is actually almost 10 years ago now, I used to sell Star Wars toys full-time online. So back in like 96, 97, I actually had a website. I would take credit cards online and all that cool stuff. That's actually what springboarded me into working for Accenture. And then Accenture eventually stuck me on a BizTalk project, and I became a BizTalk guy ever since. I remember the very first day I started working with BizTalk Server. Does anybody remember the exact specific day they started working with BizTalk? Alan? A few of you. It was February 27th, 2001. The reason I remember, February 28th, 2001, massive earthquake in Seattle. And I was there for it. So we were brand new to a project, and we all got shaken up. And who even knew that Seattle was on a fault line? I did not know. I've been a pretty much 100% travel for the past 10 years, working in various cities, various countries over that time. It's ironic because I hate to fly. I'm pretty much scared to death to fly. In fact, I don't ever drink alcohol on the ground. I only drink in the air, which pretty much opposite from everyone else. Most people like to drink on the ground, and it affects you differently in the air, so I hear. Before we came here to Sweden, my wife and I went to Rome for a few days. And so if any of you are in Rome and need a way to get back here to Stockholm, Ethiopian Airways, believe it or not, direct flight from Rome to Stockholm. I mean, who would have guessed? Was a Boeing plane. It was very nice. I actually accomplished something here. I actually ATM'd 100% in Swedish the other day. I thought that was good. It was totally by accident. I missed the English button somehow. At that point, I was afraid if I hit the wrong cancel button, I don't know what would happen. Okay, so let's get into the scenario that we're talking about here. Ewan named his use cases, his companies after his girlfriend. I did not name this after my wife. So I'm from Iowa originally, which is a state that has a lot of cattle. And now I live in Texas. We have a lot of cattle. So I came up with Virtual Cow Media. So Virtual Cow Media is a smaller hometown-based media company that offers essentially like cable television service to people. They also, as part of this offering, offer digital video recording service known as DVR. Do you guys have that here in Sweden where you can remotely program or you can set up programming in your house to record, you know, your football games and all that good stuff? Some people, it's known as TiVo a lot of times. Okay, so we have this service. They're typically in the home. You set up recordings and all that good stuff. So they offer this service currently today to their users. And every night, their box in the home makes a call out to the home system at Virtual Cow Media and downloads scheduling updates. So tomorrow, the TV program might have changed and the president's going to talk or the king or queen's going to have some special event and they want to adjust TV programming. So every night this box calls out, gets the updated scheduling information, updates your home unit. That way it'll move your recording events not to miss these activities that are going to impact them. They've been talking about adding a new process to offer remote channel recording. So does anybody have something like this at home today? Do you have the ability on like a handheld to schedule your updates? If you're sitting here today, can I say, I forgot to schedule the game tonight, schedule it? So that's what they want to offer. They want to offer this service to allow people to connect back to their home unit, schedule updates, right? They also want to have the ability to turn this service on and off for people at will. So today I want to buy this premium service. Tomorrow I decided I don't want to pay for it anymore. I need to be able to add and drop people really relatively quickly. They also don't know how long the service is going to last. Things in the media company and home television changes quickly. Today they might be offering this service. A year from now they might not, which means they don't want to have a large investment in new hardware and software to support this endeavor. And being a hometown media-based company, they have a young, smart, Microsoft-based IT staff that can support pretty much anything they want to build out. So here are some of the facts and requirements that we kind of dug into as we looked at VirtualCal Media. They currently have around 50,000 subscribers to their television service. They're estimating about 3,000 of those subscribers are going to sign up for this premium service. There'll be an additional charge for it. Some people might get it free for the first month. But about 3,000 will stick with it and want to use this new service. And another thing that VirtualCal Media has is, of course, they offer internet, but not everyone uses their internet. So they want to have a system that if I use cable modem and somebody else uses DSL, somebody else uses satellite, they want to be able to have everyone that uses their DVR be able to use this service. So they need to work on many different types of networks. So based on this, we came up with a set of requirements. So they need to be able to access any home unit anytime over a vast array of networks. So that's a requirement. They need the ability to both do mass broadcasts. So if all of a sudden the schedule is going to change for everybody, they need to push out a broadcast right away and inform them of that. And they also need to have the ability to do a synchronous update. So right here on my handheld, I can select, you know, record program tonight and get confirmation back that says, yes, your home service is set up and going to record this now. So that's what we're trying to accomplish. Here's a picture of this visually, how we have both the multi-broadcast scenario and the point-to-point scenario that we want to accomplish for VirtualCal Media. So as we think about what technology choices we have to accomplish something like this, I think we faced with an interesting challenge here. Has anybody implemented something like this where you need to do mass broadcast and synchronous point-to-point communication? No? So we came up with these three different types of technologies to accomplish this task. First off is to use the .NET polling, which is already available to the systems, BizTalk Server, or Azure Platform App Fabric. This is Microsoft's cloud App Fabric's offering, and not to be confused with Windows Azure, or Windows App Fabric. So let's take a look at each of these and dive into a little bit more detail on what these would buy us in our scenario. So .NET polling. So first off, this is in place today. The units already do polling-based updates. So it would be very easy to increase the polling interval and have these systems run faster. The IT staff at VirtualCal Media already knows how to support this solution. And it'd be very easy for them to just, you know, when a user signs up, the next time they do an update, change the config value that updates the polling interval. Some of the cons against this approach are it's extremely inefficient. If you have 3,000 people sign up for this and you want to do polling every 30 seconds, that's a lot of additional overhead hitting your home servers looking for updates. With that, it's an extensive use of network and server resources to handle all these polling events that are coming in and most of the time returning nothing. And also, it allows those synchronous calls to be much slower than you might expect. You'd have to do much more thinking into a handheld or website-based device that one is to do these synchronous updates, because it would have to be async waiting for the async polling event from your home unit. Next is BizTalk Server. I guess for starters, how many people here, what's the maximum number of send ports that you have seen? Does anybody have more than 100 send ports? Wow, okay. What about more than 500 send ports? Wow, more than 1,000 send ports? No, okay. So in this case, we would want to build out up to maybe 3,000 send ports. I know on the receive side, one time I made the mistake. Do you guys know John Flanders? I think he came here before and gave a talk. On the receive side, I sent him an IM once and said, hey, you know, how many receive ports or receive locations do you think you can have? About an hour later, he IMs back. Yeah, I wrote a loop. I created 999 receive ports with 999 receive locations each. He's like, it's going to take 3 months to start them, but they're created. So you can do that on the receive side. So I would imagine we'd be able to actually create the 3,000 send ports. So on the pro side of BizTalk Server, it's very easy to route our messages to one unit or many units. So every home unit would have a statically defined send port. Everyone would be in a send port group for the mass updates. And then you would have the individuals that could be routed to when you had the synchronous message updates. So that's going to be there. And we also have reliable messaging, which is a big key in BizTalk. So if you send out a mass broadcast update, it doesn't make it to one of its destinations. Well, you can resume that message and already build in your automatic retries right into that, which is going to be a good feature. Now, on the con side is how do we maintain a continuous connection from our home unit to our home or our unit in our house to our home unit in the Virtual Cal Media's office? If we owned the network, so we provided them both cable and internet, we would be able to pretty much guarantee this connectivity. We would know their IP address and know how to get to the unit. But as we offer our service to anybody with any kind of internet, we would have to look at how to best make sure we have a guaranteed connection back to that box. This would probably be in the form of some sort of VPN that we would have running on the home network to connect back to us. Also, we would have additional hardware and software costs building out BizTalk Server. Not that that's bad, and maybe we already have BizTalk, so it's just a matter of, you know, implementing it with additional send ports. But we would definitely have additional building costs to build out that solution. Then, if we didn't have BizTalk, training for the developers and staff. Next, we have, let's look at Azure Platform App Fabric. So, pros of this is there's no hardware and software costs, right? Because we're cloud-based. And as Richard said yesterday, being cloud-based means you have metered usage. So we're going to pay for what we use. So the pay-as-you-go model can change dynamically as we add or remove users over time. Also, if this service doesn't work out, a year from now, we're done. We remove all our updates, all our service bus endpoints, and we're done. There's no additional costs. It would also have little impact on our existing IT staff, because there's not a lot more they need to do. It's all hosted in the cloud for us. So some of the cons of this approach would be, of course, it's a brand new technology. The cost could be higher. Since it's a pay-as-you-go model, we have to pay per connection. So we'd have to take that into account when we price the service offering. Broadcasting is not guaranteed. So when you do a message broadcast on AppFabric, it can broadcast to many endpoints, but there's no guarantee all the endpoints will get the message. So we'd have to build that into our solution that we build on our end when we send out the request to be able to maybe send the broadcast messages 2, 3, 4 times to ensure services that are or systems that are offline can pick it up later. Now, obviously, if a home unit has internet problems or is unplugged, they'll never get the update. So if they're down for 6 hours and they miss the update, well, there's not a whole lot they can do. And Virtual Cal Media kind of understands that in some scenarios, the update will never get there anyways. Another downside of this is it has relatively small message sizes. The maximum message size, including the SOAP header, is 64 KB. So without the SOAP header, you have about 60 KB to work with, which in general most messages you're floating around today in a true messaging scenario are going to be smaller than that. Okay, everyone is wondering what is going to be the choice for virtual cow media. I found that guy this morning. I kind of like him. Kind of looks like Richard a little. Oh, exactly. And we chose AppFabric for this solution. So what AppFabric is going to allow us to do is leverage the service bus to have all of our home units connect to the service bus. And then when we want to push out a message to them, we connect to the service bus and send that message to the service bus. So you can see here in this representation, we have the service bus in the middle, our connections from all our various homes on the right, our connections from Virtual Cow Media on the left. So let's talk a little bit about what the service bus has to offer. The service bus in its form now is two key components. We have what's typically referred to as the service bus, and then we have another feature called access control. The service bus allows, like I've talked already, to have systems connect to the service bus to send and receive messages, usually from the cloud back to home, from the cloud to like a home office, a cloud to like the back-end system. Richard showed how it's going from an off-premise system back to his laptop. It can also go from peer-to-peer. So if you were in here and wanted to send a message to your buddy sitting next to you, you're both on the cloud, you can do that. And the key thing that you have here is you're bypassing, you're stepping over all the firewalls that happen to be in your way. I can't believe I'm actually saying that because I cringe every time I hear it. But it does allow you to essentially make a tunnel through the firewall to send and receive your messages. Access control is kind of like a unified control system where you can authenticate against it, get a token, and use that token for other authentication. We're not going to cover that here. We're focusing on the service bus. We should pause for a moment to take a look at the costs associated with this service. The service bus runs on a cost per connection. And they have this terminology of a connection month. And you're charged at fractions of a connection month per connection. It's actually fairly complex. It's $3.99 a month for a connection. So if I connected one endpoint all month, $3.99. If I connect five endpoints for one day, it's 5 divided by 30 times $3.99. Now, if you want to pre-buy connections, you can buy them in connection packs. So if you buy them in packs of 5 or more, they're $1.99 or less. This is U.S. pricing. I'm not sure if Europe pricing is the same or if it varies from this. If you do want to leverage the access controls that's available, 10,000 transactions runs you $1.99. And all of this is plus the data charges, which currently runs 10 to 15 cents per gigabyte, and more if you're in the Asia regions. Something else we should talk about is if you want to build out these demos yourself to make sure you just don't leave things sitting there connected to the service bus for days and weeks on end, you might end up getting a bigger bill than you expect at the end. So let's talk about the different ways that our applications can connect to the service bus. To connect to the service bus, we typically take our WCF service and change its bindings to now use the service bus. And it's literally that simple. I'll show you in the demo. But the first four different types of bindings here relate basically one-to-one to its corresponding WCF binding. You can see here that basic HTTP binding now uses basic HTTP relay binding. And that's pretty straightforward. This would be for our general purpose, so 1.1. When we get down here to these bottom two is where we get into some pretty cool service bus specific scenarios. The first one is NAT one-way relay binding, which is service bus specific for one-way only messages sent into the service bus. And the event relay, NAT event relay binding, which is for our message broadcasting. This will be for our sending out our bulk update to multiple clients. Now, we already talked about how messages aren't guaranteed, but in the case of when we need to do a synchronous call, we can wait for a response back from the client, in which case, while it's not guaranteed, we know the message made it there because we do get a response back. So let's go in and take a look at the solution for this. We're going to not go into much detail in getting an account, but I'll show you what that looks like, configuring our services, and then testing the solution. People that have MSDN subscriptions and the few people that have won them these past 2 days, trial of most of the cloud technologies is included. At least it is in the U.S. I'm assuming that's in Europe as well. And we need to think about that with our solution, each home will have two endpoints. We'll have one for the broadcast messages and one for the point-to-point. And this will count as two connections per home. So this is something else we'd have to think about when we want to do pricing on this approach. Okay, let me full screen this. Okay, what you see here is the Windows Azure Platform App Fabric kind of home page when you hit there. Simply go to appfabric.azure.com. I've logged in, so you see that I'm the owner here. And you see various projects. I have one project here that's active. These are all the projects that I have permission to view. Let's click on that. And here you can see different namespaces that I have set up. Namespace is very similar to a domain name. It's your place in Microsoft Service Bus. So as you can see here, I came and registered BizTalk Europe. These have to be globally unique. So I've registered BizTalk Europe. I'm pretty excited. But for this demo, and I registered Thirsty Pups, which I had visions that this would be a home-based RFID solution when my dogs are thirsty and drink water. It got a lot of laughs when I explained it to people. Anyways, that didn't go very far. So anyways, we're talking about the host app fabric namespace here. Let's drive down into this. And once I dive down into this, you're going to see my management key. You can simply change these keys by clicking Generate New Key, which I'll do after the demo. But right now, everything's set to use this key. This is the authentication mechanism for anything that wants to connect to my part of the namespace and the service bus. So when I own this, here's the registry URL. When I own this URL, I own everything to the right of this hash sign. So I own this whole namespace and anything I want to put after it. And it's a lot like a folder structure. So as I add more services after that, I can branch past that. So what we'll see is like we're going to add slash home, and then slash underneath home, we're going to add all our individual homes. And that's how I would partition in my namespace where all the homes are listed. I can click on this, and there's nothing connected to the bus right now. But when I click on it, here's a list of all the services that I have publicly available through the service bus on my namespace. You can choose whether you want them publicly available or not. I think the default on the mass relay is to be public and individual is not, but I could be wrong. And the rest of this other stuff is just different endpoint information. I don't use any of that stuff. So let's take a look at what our code looks like. This is the code for what we would be running on our home units, and it's pretty straightforward. It's just a simple WCF service, but we're creating two service hosts, one to listen for our multi-message broadcast and one to listen for our synchronous events. You can see here I have schedule update and sync schedule update, and this just simply is going to sit here and wait for listen on the service bus for activity. Now, the magic is really just simply in the app.config file, where to leverage these, I simply add my address. So it's SB colon whack whack, then it's my full URL up to here, and then whatever I want to call it after that. This is where I talked about owning everything to the right of the namespace. So I have a quick schedule update, and then down here I have schedule update slash home A. So it was called schedule update, not home. So all my synchronous calls are going to go under schedule update. The mass broadcasts under quick schedule update. Then to assign my key, so I should point out that the mass update uses net event relay binding which we saw on the slide is the one for the mass broadcasts. The one down here uses net TCP relay binding, which is going to give it a synchronous request response that the message has made it there. So the magic of this whole thing is to set the key under a behavior. Mine is called service bus credentials. And then my endpoints simply reference this behavior. My test client, which is going to be simulating what my home office would have. This is the extent of my Windows Form ability, so bear with that. It simply makes a call to WCF like any other WCF service would. Here you see this is the part that sends the mass broadcast message. And it simply does new channel, passes in broadcast message, which corresponds to the name of the endpoint. Here, broadcast message, and this is a net one-way relay binding, just like we saw as the binding when we want to send off these mass broadcasts. And here you see I have individual endpoints for each of my home units. So as I add new home units, I would have to update my configuration file for my home system, my system running in the media office to be able to know those endpoints. But since everybody's on the service bus, I'm going to tell the units running in the house what its name's going to be. So I'm going to know what the name of all the home units are. In this case, it follows a standard where it's single home message / home A, home B, home C, etc. So you could call it this / account number. So then you'd be able to predict what the account number or what the endpoint name is going to be for that individual. Again, I do the service bus credentials to set my key, and then we should be good to go. So let's fire this up. It's going to take it 30 seconds or so to connect. I have three different homes, home A, B, and C. And we're going to let these guys connect, hopefully. Okay, so C, so everybody's connected. So at this point, these have all established connections on the service bus. If I go back here and click on you can see now I have my schedule updates that are listed on here. So that wasn't here before. So now this is my public feed. I'm seeing who's available. So now I'm going to launch off my tester, and let's see what it's like to update all homes. So now we're starting the broadcast update. This is now sending a message to the service bus, and we should see all three of these homes receive that message. And just like that, we see all three of the homes receive that message. If I want to do a synchronous update, I can say channel 5 has a program that's now on at 5:45, and that's just for home B because he wants to schedule that recording, actually. Can set that up, click home B, and now we should just see that in the home B. And there we go. And we see that we updated just our home B. So Richard showed a demo yesterday where the cloud talked back to his computer that he had running here. Now, that's cool, and that was really awesome, but I'm going to show a demo of my home computer talking to my VM, or not my laptop to my VM, which I've never been able to actually connect to my VM in any other manner than the service bus. It's extremely challenging. So let's take a look at how to do that. Let me get to my desktop. No, I didn't do that right. There we go. I'm going to launch the same test application that is running. Now this is running not in the VM. It's running locally. And I'm going to update channel 2 at 9 o'clock for home C. And now this is making a connection to the service bus again. Going out through the cloud. Hopefully we get a synchronous response back shortly. And it says return true for home C. We should be able to come back here and see, sure enough, home C has been updated, channel 2 at 9 o'clock. Yeah. So now I can actually talk from my laptop to the VM that the laptop is running, which I can't ever seem to get that to work any other way. So as you see here, it's actually relatively simple to change your existing code, your existing services to leverage the service bus. In fact, Richard did a demo last year where he simply put up a BizTalk receive location on the service bus, which is going to expose your endpoint that way. But the underlying technology about what's going on here is really fundamental, and it's extremely – I feel that this is going to be a huge growth area. It took me a little while to think of a really good practical use of the service bus, but in a scenario like this where you want to talk back to something and you don't know where that something is, you can either have a cellular relay and talk to it that way, or leveraging something like this, which is going to be a much more cost-effective manner. Of course, this is going to assume that there's some sort of internet connection there, which is – in this case, in a home unit, is going to be a good assumption. Okay, this was remote message broadcasting. And what we talked about was how the Azure Platform App Fabric can be used to connect to devices that sit on various different networks going through the firewalls. We also saw how this is a pay-as-you-go model, so we can rapidly scale up and down, and we don't have any additional hardware and software costs, which is really key driving factors here for this scenario for virtual Cal Media. And if you guys want to play around with this, you have your MSDN subscriptions that you can use if you have them. Otherwise, they have appfabricslab.com, which I think they give you free access to the new up-and-coming releases. Does anybody think of a better way that this could be done? I mean, does anybody agree or anybody think that BizTalk Server would be a better choice for this? No? Okay. I think the way the scenario is and what we're trying to accomplish here with the 3,000 users, that the service bus really makes the most sense here. Is there anybody here that uses the service bus today? No? Okay. Is there any questions? Oh, a year. Well, so per month, I think you can get a 1,000-person connection pack for maybe probably $1,500. But you got to remember that sticker price. And if you have an enterprise agreement with Microsoft, I'm sure you're going to get some sort of discount. So if you look at it per single user, if they make two connections per month, $1.50 a connection, that would be $3. If you price this offering, which is pretty cool offering, to be able to sit here and I forgot to record my event and record it, or scheduling updates that force times to change, you could offer that for $5.99, $9.99, and essentially be able to double your money for not a lot of effort. And then there's really no risk. I mean, you add 10 more users, you're still going to make same amount of money. So it's not like you have a big investment and need to sell this to 2,000 people to break even. So I don't know what exact pricing someone would actually get down to. But any other questions? Okay. Well, thank you.